How many of you are teachers? Any school administrators teach also? Good. My name is Jerry Goddard. I'm Dean of Administrative Affairs here at West Coast Baptist College. I've had the privilege of teaching in Christian schools for 39 and a half years. I started when I was six. How many of you have ever been nervous when you were teaching? Well, let me tell you about a man who was nervous. The story is told of a grandfather who was bragging about his military service to his grandson. He told his grandson that he'd been a paratrooper. "Wow," exclaimed the grandson. "How many times did you jump out of an airplane?" The grandfather replied, "Not once did I jump out of an airplane." "Then how can you call yourself a paratrooper?" the boy asked. The grandfather replied, "Not once did I jump out of an airplane, but I was pushed out the door 47 times. So I don't know if that's how you feel about teaching, but let's pray and get started. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this good day and just what you've been doing in our hearts and lives all of these days. And thank you for the conference. Thank you for Pastor Chapel and his vision to help each of us. I pray that you'd help me to communicate clearly, help the students to understand, help them to know. And I pray that you would help them to learn something today that'll make them better servants for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you today about striving to reach higher level learning outcomes. How many of you have ever heard the name Benjamin Bloom? How many of you have ever heard the name John Dewey? Now, if you've been into Christian college, you've probably heard that John Dewey was the worst, most evil educator there ever was. But he used a term that I've grown to like. He said he downplayed the role of teacher, but he called the teacher a co-learner or a... Now I forgot what he said. Teacher is a co-learner or a facilitator of learning. And I want to challenge you today to think about something, that it's not all about teaching that goes on in your classroom. It's all about learning. And that's our goal, is to communicate and to help the students learn. I want to talk to you today about educational objectives. Educational objectives are goals, targets, that's for which we aim. If we don't have a goal in our classroom, how will we know when we reach it or we don't reach it? And we need to have educational objectives. I think one of the keys to effective teaching and testing is to use properly written educational objectives. And if you've had education classes in college, you've heard that term. You've probably read some books about it. But I want to challenge you to think today about striving to reach higher level learning outcomes through writing proper objectives. I think I said educational objectives are blueprints for effective teaching and effective testing. Students get interesting ideas in their minds. Some perceive that a test is because we've been bad, we've been in trouble. Okay, you weren't listening, well, I'm going to give you a quiz. I hope you've never done that. It's not the purpose for testing. The purpose of testing is to see if they've learned anything. And how can you know how to test what they've learned if you haven't had a goal, a target, or an aim? Educational objectives are very important. They are statements describing the skills and characteristics that the teacher intends students to develop through instruction. Let me say that one more time. Educational objectives are statements describing the characteristics and specific skills that the teacher intends students to develop through instruction. Now, learning is broken down into cognitive, affective, and psychomotor domains, but most of us teach in the cognitive domain, where we teach about knowledge, about information, factual information. And I want to challenge you to strive to reach for higher level learning outcomes. I have a kind of picture here. I taught Stripe how to whistle. I don't hear him whistling. I said I taught him. I didn't say he learned it. You know that it's not good enough to just teach. Now, I know that you're teaching because the Lord led you to teach, but I want to challenge you to be a facilitator of learning. Forgive me for using Dewey's term. It's not all about your activities in the classroom. It's all about what's going on in their student brains and if they are learning and it's changing their behavior. I'm going to give you some ideas about educational objectives. First, this statement, if the student hasn't learned, the teacher hasn't taught. Have you heard that before? Do you believe it? I used to kind of argue with it. I'd say, well, that statement as it's written excuses the student from any responsibility. And maybe you have a student with a sour attitude, a bad opinion. Maybe they don't want to learn. But the issue still is true. If they have not learned, the teacher hasn't taught. And that's why we have people called teachers, because they are to impart learning. And I would challenge you to take that challenge. If you have that student in your class who just does not want to learn, be a teacher. Find out what it will take to help that student learn. Tutoring, help class, study sheets, one-on-one. Look for a way to accomplish learning in students' life. And I think it's true that if the student hasn't learned, the teacher hasn't taught. You know, we're all, most of us are married, we're communicators. At least we think we're communicators. But did you know that if you communicate and somebody doesn't hear, you didn't communicate? If they didn't understand, if they didn't perceive your meaning, you've really not communicated. And teaching and learning is the same way. If some people aren't learning, you're not teaching. Let's talk about educational objectives. Benjamin Bloom wrote a taxonomy of educational objectives in which he classified lower level to higher level learning outcomes. Many of us live on the knowledge level. That's in the definition in your outline, the basic recall of factual information. If I said to you, December 7th, 1941, what would you say? Do you understand that? You probably do, but did you have to understand that to answer that question? No. You didn't have to understand the geography, the culture, the alliances between nations, the armaments of the Japanese Navy and what was stored at Pearl Harbor. You didn't have to have any understanding, any comprehension whatsoever. Unfortunately, many teachers teach on the knowledge level only. Now, there's nothing wrong with teaching knowledge. I'm going to try to explain that as you move up the level on your educational objectives, you need knowledge to make evaluation and analysis and application. But the challenge is to get away from living on the lower level. Your students, you know, sometimes Christian education has been criticized because we don't teach critical thinking. And maybe you've perceived some ways and look for ways to teach critical thinking. I really think properly written objectives, properly taught, can lead your students to think critically, where they can read something, think about it, and communicate something, and you'll know they've been critically thinking. But we've got to get off the knowledge level because it's just recalling of factual information. Second level is comprehension, defined as the ability to make use of knowledge. You've probably said to a student, "Do you comprehend?" It's more than knowledge. It's up the ladder one level. It's the ability to use knowledge and understand it. The age-old standardized test with reading comprehension, where you had to read the paragraph, answer the questions. That's the use of knowledge you've gained from the reading, but you've comprehended it. It's the beginning of understanding. Third level in the taxonomy is application. It's a willingness to use comprehension. How many of you liked arithmetic in elementary school? Remember story problems? You laugh. I enjoyed story problems. I don't know why, but I just enjoyed them because it was always interesting to take the numbers and fit them into the formula, read the story, identify the numbers, put them into the formula, figure the math. The infamous train left Chicago and the train left San Francisco, and where do they collide? In my mind, they're still on the track somewhere. But we want our students to begin to apply, begin to use, to know some knowledge, possess the knowledge, to understand the knowledge, comprehend it, and then apply, make application. It's a very real, viable educational objective to challenge students to apply, make application of what they're learning. Next in our taxonomy is analysis. Literally, to analyze, the ability to break down material into its parts. If you're in a science lab and you're dissecting something, did you ever dissect a frog? I got a D on my frog. Not bitter about it, it's about 50 years ago, but I cut something, I can't even remember what it was, but something I wasn't supposed to cut. I'm sure the frog was highly upset, but seriously, analysis is breaking down of major ideas or components into smaller parts for the purpose of understanding, for the purpose of maybe relating to another situation. We've got to teach students to analyze. Thinking, quite often, is analysis. Thinking is using factual information to see how it applies in maybe a different situation or a different scenario. Analysis. The opposite of analysis is synthesis, working with elements or parts to form a whole. Working with elements or parts to form a whole. In my mind, the greatest illustration of this is in music. Now, I'm not a musician. I played the French horn for a while. When I was in seventh grade, I played a French horn solo in church. And it was in the summer, and it was hot, and they had the doors open so that the breeze would blow through, and the breeze blew my music off my stand. What would you have done? I sat down. It's funny because that's the last time they ever asked me to play my French horn. Anyway. In music, you learn, you study and learn about notes and rhythm and meter and some other things that I don't understand. But then you take all of those parts and put together to compose music. And I think that's my best illustration of synthesis, to synthesize, to take ideas or parts, smaller parts of a whole, and build something new. And what an ability it would be. You know, my kids grew up on Patch the Pirate. And I've known Ron and Shelley Hamilton for a number of years. You ever listen to Patch the Pirate? Anybody remember listening to Mr. Slippy River Race? That's my all-time favorite. I think I had it memorized at one point. But there's a lot of humor in there that kids don't get, that adults get. And I made the mistake of telling Patch once that I appreciate the adult humor. That's not really what I meant. Seriously, though, the God-given ability to compose music is not to be taken lightly. And they're so good at communicating a message with rhythm and timing and all that, harmony. They are taking smaller parts that they've studied and learned and put together a larger part. They're composing music. And finally, at the top of our taxonomy of educational objectives is evaluation, which is making value judgments based on knowledge, comprehension, application, analysis, and synthesis. The highest level of the learning taxonomy is evaluation, and our students need to be able to evaluate. Think about some ideas, learn some information, and see, does it apply? Is it in line with what I believe? And from a biblical perspective, is it in line with the truth of Scripture? Stories told of John F. Kennedy in law school at Harvard. He was in a philosophy class, and this will tell you a lot about a secular philosophy class. The final examination was one question, and the question was, why? I'm told Kennedy got a B+ because he said, why not? Somebody else got an A because he said, because. But that truly was evaluation. And we need to be challenging our students to learn knowledge and use it. And they use it by comprehending, applying, and analyzing, synthesizing, and evaluating. I want to challenge you to take some time, and I'll go through this in just a moment, but I think the key to properly teaching, key to proper teaching and testing is properly written educational objectives. I know some of you use a curriculum and they've probably written the objectives already. I would challenge you to write your own objectives. Make it personal. Because no matter what the curriculum says, and I've taught the curriculum before, had the privilege 1 year of teaching sixth grade, and it was a good experience for me. In fact, one of my students just had a student graduate from Bible college. That's how long ago that was. But personalize your educational objectives. What are you striving for your students to be able to do to demonstrate that they've learned? Now, properly written educational objectives should be student-centered. They are not teacher activities. Educational objectives are not what you're planning to do. You're going to show a video, you're going to discuss something. It's what will they do to demonstrate that they've learned something. You know, learning is an interesting activity. It takes place in the mind. And unless you're a mind reader, you've got to be able to do something to give them an opportunity. That's why proper testing is measuring your educational objectives. But they must be student-centered. It's not what will the teacher do, it's what will the students do to demonstrate that they've learned. And secondly, they must be observable. If you want to pass out that list, I have a list of synonyms within the variety of classifications of educational objectives. I would guess some of you have written an educational objective at some point where it said, your educational objective said, as a result of this period of instruction, the student will know something. Let me challenge you that that's not a properly written objective, because how do you know they know? You know they know because they write, they list, they identify. Okay, we'll clean it up and they'll really know it. That's still not measurable. I would challenge you, and I've given you a list of synonyms for each of the classification areas. If you want to know if they know, they possess knowledge, you can ask them to list, identify, describe, recognize, etc. My favorite is matching. I think the best illustration is, and probably in about fifth grade, students learn the states and the capitals. And a properly written educational objective would be, as a result of this period of instruction, the student will match the states and capitals. Would everybody be comfortable with that kind of a test? I think so. So what kind of a test question are you going to write? Your goal is that they will match. See, it's simple. So you're all thinking this is above me. I can't figure this out. It's not. If you want them to match states and capitals, have a matching exercise. You want them to list something, have them do short answer. You want to have them identify truth or falsehood? True, false. It's not that difficult. And I would challenge you to realize that properly written objectives will make your teaching more effective. And then you'll be testing to see if they have learned, and you'll be testing to see if you have accomplished your objectives. Now, once again, I mentioned some of you have a curriculum. I would challenge you to personalize your objectives. What am I going to do? You know, the curriculum is there no matter what, but you're still the teacher, and you're going to use the curriculum, and I would challenge you to use it to its full effect with your God-given abilities, and write educational objectives and then measure them. Okay, look at your handout. I think we've given you some information on the backside. Here are some ideas to help you write better educational objectives. Letter A, identify the levels on which you are teaching. And I would challenge you, maybe you've never written objectives. Shame on your administrator. He ought to be asking you to write objectives and turn them in. You know, we taking some steps to upgrade our educational level, our academics here at West Coast Baptist College, and just about a year ago, everybody was required to include educational objectives on their course syllabus. And if you've not done that, I would challenge you to do that on your own syllabus if you have one. But as you plan your course, write some objectives. Have some goals. Aim at something. If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. Have a target and know where you're headed, and then know how to measure to see if you got there. But I would challenge you, if you've not written objectives, to write some based on student behavior, based on what the students will do to demonstrate they've learned. And then identify the levels on which you are teaching. I would go through my educational objectives, and we had to do this on our course syllabi, identify which program objectives, which institutional objectives they measure. But just based on the taxonomy, knowledge through evaluation, look at every objective you've written. Now, it's not wrong to have some on knowledge, but I think it's wrong to have all on knowledge. Because aren't you trying to teach your students more than just factual information, just a state recall of factual information? So identify the levels in which you're teaching. Secondly, decide to aim higher than before. Just decide you're going to be a better teacher. I would challenge you to strive to be a better teacher every year. I would think that's your heart. You want students to learn better, and if you're teaching better and you're more organized and you know what you're aiming for, you'll be a better teacher. Letter C, begin to formulate how you intend to teach on a higher level. Now, it's not just objectives and testing. There's this thing called teaching that goes in between. Teach them so they are prepared to match, list, identify, evaluate, synthesize, analyze. Begin to formulate how you intend to teach on a higher level. Fourthly, identify your objectives which measure lower level learning. Decide how you can teach in a manner which will require higher level learning outcomes. You may need to rewrite your objectives. The key is the term, the verb that's used, the action verb, to identify, describe, recognize. I would challenge you to take this list of synonyms and bump yourself up. Decide to rewrite your objectives. Decide to teach differently so you can accomplish these objectives. That's F on your outline. Identify appropriate action verbs and then rewrite your objectives. I would challenge you to rewrite your objectives every year, because you ought to be changing, you ought to be reading, you ought to be gaining more information that you want to teach, you ought to be teaching differently. Now, you can have the same basic objectives, but some of the very specific things may change. But rewrite your objectives, begin teaching to meet higher level objectives, and then review and test in an appropriate manner. Your tests should not, once you have properly written educational objectives, writing a test is not that difficult. You just find the objective, what's the key word, list, identify. Here's the test section, identify these. But test your objectives. Once again, it's not because they've been bad, you give them a quiz, it's because you're trying to see if you've accomplished anything. And then evaluate, we said in an appropriate manner, evaluate your test results. What if everybody fails your test? Bad students. If the students haven't learned, the teacher hasn't taught. Now, I think if everybody fails a quiz or a test, one of three things happened. Either they all got together and said, let's not study, and it's probably not going to happen. Or the teacher didn't teach, or the test is poorly written. And two of those three are your responsibility. So go back and change the way you teach. Have higher level learning outcomes and teach to meet those goals.